All. For three Sundays now, we've been talking about some of the hard things that Jesus calls us to do if we would follow him. I'm aware that many Christians, many churches, in fact, don't think Christianity is about doing anything hard at all. And they certainly don't think Christianity has anything to say about immigrants, refugees, deportations, and detentions. Instead of caring for the sojourner, one writer observes that Christians in America have largely supported measures that have rejected refugees, refused aid to immigrants, cut social services to the poor, diminished help for the sick, and largely increased inequality, prejudice, and fear. We're living in strange times, my friends, and many days it makes my heart heavy. As you listen to the scripture passages that were read this morning, did you sense a pattern? Did a theme begin to emerge for you? It was hard to miss, right? I know. That was kind of piling on. But I wanted you to hear all of that stuff, a lot of it from the Hebrew Bible, that love for the sojourner and compassion for the refugee, it's not a minor theme being played off in some far-flung place in our sacred texts, but it's one of the major themes sounding throughout our scriptures. The rabbis tell us that the command to love the stranger is repeated more than any other command in the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible. Over 100 times, God is referred to as the God of the stranger. If you dig deeper into these ancient laws, laws that we often look at as kind of harsh and judgmental and exclusive, you'll find something remarkable. A law that requires that you, get this, provide safe haven for a slave seeking refuge. Care for the immigrant, compassion for the refugee, for those who live and work and sojourn with us, is as central and undeniable in our faith as the love of God for this planet. It's as essential to our Christian identity as forgiveness and charity. This is who we are. This is what we're about. I remember last year I was attending a rally, and it was in support of immigrants and refugees, and I was being yelled at, we were all being yelled at, by, I'm sure, well-meaning folks who would just rather wash their hands of the huddled masses yearning to breathe free. These folks, though, they were really unhappy, and they were really unhappy to see somebody with a collar on the other side. And for a moment, I lost my moral compass. I mean, I can't help it. I'm a pastor. Most days, I'm a compassionate person. I felt bad that I was doing things and saying things that were making these people so angry. And so I wondered for a moment if being at the rally with my collar on was the right thing to do. And then I came to my senses and I thought of our history. Our country has had so much to do, sadly, tragically, with the turmoil and violence that many are trying to escape. I thought about how we need to turn that history around, friends. And then I thought of the stories that I've heard, the stories that I've read. So today we're lifting up the work of the Austin Sanctuary Network and our part in that. The Austin Sanctuary Network is part of a nationwide movement in support of the rights of refugees and immigrants, sojourners, to use the biblical word. Providing sanctuary, by the way, is as old as the church. It goes all the way back, right? The modern sanctuary movement that you hear about in our country began back in the 1980s with the work of Jim Corbett. We've talked about him in worship before. He was a quiet rancher who turned activist. When Linda, my wife, and I lived in the Rio Grande Valley in the early 80s, we did volunteer work teaching English to refugees. We didn't know we were part of the sanctuary movement, but I guess we were. I mean, they were staying at a safe house near the church. Most of the young men, and they were all men, were from El Salvador. And as they began to trust us, they told us their stories of fleeing a country consumed by unspeakable violence. When I think of their stories, there's a poem that comes to mind. It's by a brilliant young poet, Warson Shire. She was born in Kenya, she grew up in Somalia, and she fled her country, and she now lives in London, England. The poem is called Home, and it has become a rallying cry for refugees. You will see phrases from her poem on signs. It's become the voice of the voiceless, because in this poem, Shire captures the stories of people who are on this journey with her. And I'm going to share just a piece of it with you today because I can't get through the whole poem. You'll have to look at it later. Home. No one leaves home unless home is the mouth of a shark. You only run for the border when you see the whole city running as well. Your neighbors running faster than you, breath bloody in their throats. The boy you went to school with who kissed you dizzy behind the old tin factory is holding a gun bigger than his body. You only leave home when home won't let you stay. You have to understand that no one puts their children in a boat unless the sea is safer than the land. No one burns their palms under trains, beneath carriages. No one spends days and nights in the stomach of a truck feeding on newspaper unless the miles traveled mean something more than the journey. I want to go home, but home is the mouth of a shark. Home is the barrel of a gun. No one leaves home unless home is a sweaty voice in your ear saying, leave, run away from me now. I don't know what I've become, but I know that anywhere is safer than here. Shire's poem reminds me who the one is who is doing the really hard things. It's not me. I'm in this sanctuary movement with all of you because I believe that caring for the stranger is what Jesus wants me to do. You know, years ago, people wore those bracelets, mainly folks of a more evangelical persuasion, WWJD. Do you remember those bracelets? You don't hear much about the bracelets these days. I think we should bring the bracelets back. I think we should wear them here at University Church. What would Jesus ask us, I wonder? Are you sure you really want to go there, Pastor John? Would he ask us about where our families are from? About the people who live in our neighborhoods? Would he be curious about families that we have placed in detention centers where we have separated mothers and their children? Would he inquire about how, in the name of humanity, we fired dozens of Tomahawk missiles in a surgical strike into Syria, but have allowed in less than a dozen refugees from Syria this year. 15,000 in 2016, friends. Would he suggest that we might benefit from a refresher course in our very own scriptures? Would he ask each of us, "What will you do for these people in my name, for my children who are hurting?" Is it any wonder that we no longer wear the bracelets, the WW? What would Jesus do or ask? Some of us don't want to know. This morning, though, I'm glad we're in the company of friends, people who have heard these challenging words from Jesus and who have responded, our friends from the Austin Sanctuary Network, who are doing this good work every single day. Some of you who've written letters and you've made calls and you've accompanied immigrants and you've given support and you've stood outside detention centers and you've made visits. Many of you who will be joining in this work, doing whatever you can. And so I'm grateful for you. I'm so grateful to be in a congregation where we can sing that opening hymn, "All Are Welcome," and mean it. Because there's many places where I've stood and sung that hymn, and I know that all are not welcome. There's a story in one of Ken Follett's books. I don't read his books, but I just came across the story, and I wanted to share it with you. One of the characters named Tom is a craftsman, and basically he squandered his life in pursuit of an impossible dream. He wants to build a cathedral to the glory of God. After 20 years, he's still not finished with the cathedral, and so he's met somebody of means who he thinks can help him finish this project. So he meets with him, and the man asks Tom a very simple question: why? Why do you want to build this cathedral so badly? And Tom hesitates for a moment, and then he says, "Because it will be beautiful." That is the best answer of all. Because it will be beautiful. So yes, we welcome the stranger because our scriptures command us to. And because Jesus says that we must. And because we are part of the problem. And because people are hurting. But we do this work because it's beautiful. Beautiful work. It's work that creates that beloved mosaic community where all of God's children have a place at the table, where everyone shares in the blessings of life. Can you imagine that? And everyone shares in the fruits of their labor. This is God's dream for us. May it ever be so. In the name of the one who always has room at the table. Amen. Amen.